Welcome to the Musings series, audio book readings, reading from Photo Albums of the Heart Mind, published by All Book Books, written by Monk Walter E. Harris III. Thanks for listening. This is chapter 2 of Photo Albums of the Heart Mind, The Cry of the Heart Mind. And the first section is called The Crack in the Catch-22. The Crack in the Catch-22. A big reason some people get stuck in vicious cycles of self-abuse is because of a punitive system where people are programmed to feel pain and wear it like a badge. Plus, there is the fear of being punished. Some people pay for pleasures to alleviate the pain, but that's temporary rather than learning to unite with and receive spiritual energies. The hinge point that non-pluses the mind is being afraid to face truth because of a guilty conscience, yet that's the programming. Out of the frying pan and into the fire instead of out of the trap and into the truth. Pleasure and good feeling is so close, and spirit is ready to give it to you if only you think you deserve it, allow it, disentangle from the punishment consciousness, and let the love in, let the light in. For practical purposes here, consider spirit as an invisible dimension of being that can sometimes be seen. Or, as Leonard Cohen sings in Anthem, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Pay for your karma at the door, but don't hang on to it with guilt. I'm such a bad boy girl, because that's the trap built by the authoritarian educational system. The unbending religiosity of do this, don't do that, and the lock-em-up mafia government. Just learn the lesson and get on with it. But that's even more challenging for those with fewer opportunities, for example, unjustly incarcerated minorities, many of whom get a blemish on their record, even if they get out of jail. The horrors of history stem from false programmings and the systems that reinforce them. The system has gone amok and feeds on mind-emotion control perpetrated by those afraid to face their own painful truths. Heart-mind is the cry that heals, a cry of pain turned into a pleasure, whether a pleasurable orgasmic cry or a simple joy. History is not the whole story. History is rife with lies, the written words twisted like the battlefield casualties of the warmongers whose schemes make history their propaganda. Whose greed makes money off of history books, whose violence perpetuates the brainwashing of students to become good warriors for their latest battles and good spectators to their CIA-approved Hollywood 3D glasses bloodshed. How do you think Mother Earth feels when the blood of her sons and daughters is spilled on her body? Though some native women have a menstrual cycle of bleeding into the earth. Cahokia, an ancient, circa 1600 to 1400 Common Era, native culture, with some of its infrastructure or earth mounds intact, smaller than those of Kemet, ancient Egypt, or Abya Yala, Latin and Mesoamerica, yet pyramid-like structures of Turtle Island, what some today call U.S. of A., near Collinsville, Illinois, remnants exist. So where does that leave us? History is only a smidgen of all the history, the root of the word to know, to see. But can you trust the seer, or did the facts, the actual picture of what happened, get lost in translation and a cover-up? Nikola Tesla showed how the charged earth energies after a thunderstorm could light a light bulb that was plugged into the ground. The heart-mind illuminates with knowing and seeing what happened, no matter what anyone says to the contrary. This section header is a quote from the film and the novel Morris by E.M. Forster. Omit the reference to the unspeakable vice of the Greeks. The authority figures try to monitor what people think by never mentioning or showing certain things, which leaves this artist no other alternative. Don't think of an elephant. Don't think of the rainforest. Don't think of polluted rivers or the water pipes of Flint, Michigan, or native waters tainted by open-pit uranium mines, America's Chernobyl. Don't think of female genital mutilation, or of why a Thai Buddhist monk, because he got a hard-on during meditation, chopped off his penis with a machete. Don't think of an ancient Greek man lovingly initiating a pubescent boy in the ways of sexuality and how to care for and love himself. Quote, an interesting ritual is performed in Bhutan as part of housewarming ceremony of new houses, which entails erecting the phallus symbols at the four corners of the eaves of the house and one inside the house. End quote. The photo that helped stop the Vietnam War, a young naked girl, Kim Phuc, running from a napalm attack. So then the corporate media decided to sanitize the news, and now agribusiness corporations who made napalm and Agent Orange control much of the food production of the world. Hard truths, but if they don't get mentioned, no one will talk about them. No one will do anything. Morris is about same-sex love in super stodgy early 20th century England when it was seriously illegal. This traveler found the movie liberating as well as a reminder of the challenges one faces when breaking free from a repressive societal system. Growing Light, number one. This traveler told a friend that one of the purposes of each of our lives is to grow light. She asked for a definition of light and an explanation of how one could grow it and how to let love in. Tricky questions to answer because it is something one does, or it happens of its own accord without much thinking about it, as when brushing one's teeth or that first sip of morning coffee. Light comes in various forms. Sunlight, made of light beings. My native cosmic friend calls the sun light beings, saying that it is made of trillions of light beings. Moonlight, starlight, firelight, candlelight, electric light, traffic lights. The last one may seem less significant, but it could save your life. The light this traveler is referring to is the light in the eyes. One way to immediately learn about someone's level of consciousness and evolution. The light that is the essence, the building block of the energy that makes each of us alive and unique. The light that nourishes every cell of the body. There is always light, a comforting thought. The ancient Chinese pictographs for yin and yang, the balance of everything, reveal yin, the shady northern watershed of a valley, and yang, the sunny south watershed. The interplay and balance of these will see you through both dark and light times with greater equanimity. Growing light number two. This traveler has seen flashes of colored lights appear out of nowhere, in a room or outside in midair at eye level in the yard. The intensity, the vibrancy of which showed me that this is the true stuff that good dreams fulfilled in the physical world are made of. These lights had specific messages for this traveler, so he figured out what they were saying, yet some of the message is simply the energy of the light itself, which lives within this traveler's consciousness. Light lives within each of us. There is enlightenment, and the tree of life of mystical, non-religious Kabbalah is also called the ladder of lights. Being light is not being weighed down by worldly affairs. Being light is having a sense of humor and encouraging the positive, seeing the proverbial silver lining which helps generate a brighter tomorrow. Sounds cliche, but it is true. This traveler's favorite painter is the Dutchman Johannes Vermeer. The way his paintings convey light caught my eye as a teenager. In many paintings, sunlight through a window lighting a face. Each person, each being, including a rock, has an aura, an energy field of light. You can sense, if not see, when someone's aura is bright. Some people can see auras and tell if there are dim areas, typically indicating a blockage of energy, a hurt, or trauma, perhaps a dis-ease. Meditation is one method for helping to re-energize, re-shine, heal. Next time you see and experience a powerful, breathtaking sunrise or sunlight making a lover's skin glow like honey, or piercing through the clouds or a rainbow, notice how you feel. That is light in action, for it is always moving, ever alive. Love is many things, and it too is made of light, perhaps the warmest kind. Growing light, number 3. A metaphor of building or growing light is honeycombs, but made of pure light. As with bees, it requires work, learnings, communing with many flowers, forcing oneself to maintain a positive attitude, helping others. There are as many ways to grow light as there are individual beings. Sunlight helps grow food. There is light within food. When you eat, you are also ingesting light. When a situation becomes dark and it feels as if there is no way out of the gloom, it is looking for the light that helps to make it appear, sometimes asking, "Where are you, light?" again and again. When you close your eyes, it is dark, but not totally dark, and you can see little specks of light in there. Sometimes bright ones, too. The bright ones can be scary at first because most of us are not trained to see light, so we wonder what it will do to us. Yet light is mostly simply being. Pay attention. Be ready for the light. Look your best. Not just looks, but mood and energy. Ready? Flashbulb! Here's a photo of the true you. And on the page is a framed box with it's an empty frame box. So that's the flashbulb. Here's a photo of the true you, so the reader can look into the empty box. What is the color of wind? Zen Koan. Fear blocks receptivity to light, and unless you make a point to ward off fears, you can get bombarded daily with scary messages. While a helpful warning, blizzard, storm coming, creates an air of panic and disregards the spiritual energies of nature. Since around the time of the millennium and then the Mayan prophecy of 2012, a positive wake-up call, the words apocalypse and Armageddon have become more prominent, conjuring images of end times, but this traveler prefers to see it as the end times of human stupidities, mistreatments, ignorances, disrespecting Mother Nature. It is not always pretty to tear off the Band-Aid, but it is a sign of healing. From Greek, apokalyption, uncover, disclose, reveal. From apo, off, away from, kalyption, to cover, conceal. Armageddon is from Hebrew, har megiddo, mountain, or metaphorically mounting up, plus the ancient Middle Eastern city of Megiddo, the name of which means to tell the governor, or a place of crowds. So the first thing that comes to mind from recent and current affairs is that this is an age of protests and uprisings. It is virtually impossible to read or watch the daily news without seeing at least one incident of the people facing off with typically black-clad, visored, and armed with clubs, pepper spray, tear gas, guns, militarized police. This Armageddon is a time of great change. And when President Trump picked the ExxonMobil honcho for Secretary of State, the CEO of the largest publicly traded international oil and gas company, according to their website, now in high political office, the mask was off. No more was politics trying to hide its corporate-lined innards. It is said an ill wind blows no good, but this traveler thinks it more important to find out who is making the ill wind and see how they can be stopped. Isn't that some of what this Armageddon is all about? Hear the collective people's cry of the heart-mind. good things can also be revealed. And another quote for the header, life is simple, but people make it complicated, is one of my dad's wise sayings. Not long after reading a fascinating book by Mark Curtis, Secret Affairs, British Collusion with Radical Islam, about geopolitics and all the sordid, despicable, heinous double-standarding that goes with that territory, it became even clearer to this traveler how profound a saying that is. Around the world, hence global corporate empire, business and political deals are routinely made with forked tongues. No honor among thieves. Empires rise and fall, live and die by the modus operandi known as divide and rule, or conquer or reign, which enables them to control people and resources while today's friend becomes tomorrow's enemy becomes. It's really depressing after a while, and that is just reading about it. Many people's lives are seriously negatively affected by the plunder, propaganda, and violent methods of persuasion. The British Empire's blueprint has been not so covertly transferred to the U.S. of Empire, which, by the way, already had its own track record of never fully living up to approximately 400 treaties made with native peoples. Yet, after reading Curtis's book, this traveler became aware that if the shenanigans were to be minimized, the natural beauty of people and the world would shine forth. This truly is a wonderful place to be, if only we can let it be. The opposite of divide and rule is being holistic, inclusive, or as native people say, all our relations, we are all related. Everyone is to be treated respectfully, equally, with the everyone including every being in nature, from the ant to the mountain. Truly simple. But yeah, Dad, some people make it wickedly complicated. My dad didn't read a lot of books, but I guess from simply observing people and the situations they could get themselves into, he was able to nail it. Living as simply as possible is a way to use the nails we're given to build something of lasting value, even if that something is simply staying out of trouble. This one is for the American exceptionalists, number one. Haughty, arrogant, yet wearing a cloak of decency is how this traveler describes them, plus a sense of superiority that belies their seemingly being okay with the facts. The facts that the U.S. Empire has a reported 800 to 1,000 military bases worldwide. Bases that include an oil-guzzling infrastructure, one of the biggest contributors to climate change pollution, fast food restaurants, and other amenities. And according to a 2017 article, the United States most likely has been responsible since World War II for the deaths of between 20 and 30 million people in wars and conflicts. The statistic is debatable as to direct cause and other countries involved, yet the meddling in other countries' affairs and the mass killings are pathologically proven. Not enough is the question raised, how is it the U.S. Empire's business to meddle in another country's affairs in the first place? The answer is in the question, business. It is virtually always about business, but under the guise of protecting people from some dangerous whack job. Since World War II, it has become standard for many people to blindly accept such meddling, but even the World War II was a necessary war to stop Hitler logic becomes questionable when you learn that the U.S. corporations and banks did business with the Nazis, or as this traveler unaffectionately calls them, Nazis, that's capital N-O-T, capital S-E-E-S, Nazis, because they don't see that all people are equal. Operation Paperclip is one example of the collusion, and it is fact that Hitler was inspired by America's white supremacy and racist legislation against blacks, plus concentration camps for and genocide of native peoples. Ronnie Reagan's 1983 name-calling of the Soviet Union as evil empire added to the geopolitical paranoia. Professor and author Chalmers Johnson first enlightened this traveler to the extent of the U.S. Empire's global military bases. Nick Turse's book, The Complex, How the Military Invades Our Everyday Lives, expands on the influences. And in the book, Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World, as David Vine demonstrates, the The overseas bases raise geopolitical tensions and provoke widespread antipathy toward the United States. This one is for the American Exceptionalists, number 2. Starts off with a quote, 70 years after World War II and 62 years after the Korean War, there are still 174 U.S. base sites in Germany, 113 in Japan, and 83 in South Korea, according to the Pentagon. David Vine added that hundreds more dot the planet in around 80 countries, including Aruba and Australia, Bahrain and Bulgaria, Colombia, Kenya and Qatar, among many other places. Although few Americans realize it, the United States likely has more bases in foreign lands than any other people, nation or empire in history. End quote. And here's one of numerous examples of how corporate state, aka fascism, works. From the 1980s onward, Chiquita plus Del Monte Dole Food Company, to name a few, financed right-wing paramilitary groups in Colombia. A 2017 article reports the karmic justice. Around 200 local and international companies will face charges for crimes against humanity for financing paramilitary death squads in northern Colombia. Paramilitary groups are said to be responsible for at least 80% of civilian deaths in the country's more than half-century-long civil war that has claimed the lives of some 260,000 people and victimized millions more. End quote. The long history of this particular greed and abuse started in the 1900s with the United Fruit Company. Mother Earth is actively shifting the priorities. The combination of transnational corporations offshoring jobs and the military-industrial complex offshoring military bases befits Mussolini's definition of fascism or corporatism as the collusion, not so secret, of corporation and state. Photo album in motion. Films were made, now there are digital frames of individual photos, one after another, all strung together like a tremendously long necklace encapsulating a lifetime in about 2 hours. Animation is similar, but artists make the magic happen more so than a camera and crew. Or strung together like an Algonquin wampum belt, shell by bead by gemstone, evoking memory and picture frames of the heart mind, telling the history of a people. After a trauma, life becomes like a film. Every moment, every shot being examined and questioned. Is this where I made a mistake? Is that where she just couldn't see my point? What if I had moved a little more to the left? What if he had spoken on the cue I was expecting? The human being wipes the tear from the cheek and with a quivering lip musters, "It hurts, but I wish you well." And cut to the car, the drive home, frame by frame, the past, yet the present to deal with. A close friend will always say, "Time heals," and though it is intellectually comforting, it is only maybe months or years later, after one has watched that film enough times, does suddenly one day the awareness, the deeper feeling, slide into view like a band of blue sky, as the morning mist lifts, and at that moment time does heal, and a day becomes just another day again, not a melodrama, feature film with an all too familiar shooting star. And then, with enough emotional distance and detachment, when one can truly laugh at it all, comes another layer of healing. And then, perhaps more tears. And then, beyond the sad, happy, tragicomic mass of Greek theater, is the middle way. What each of us knew as a child, when time and space were wedded within a timeless flowing dance, that the show must go on. In fact, simply does go on, and on, and no mood is to be held onto for too long, because there's another picture show just around the bend. Growing Light, number 4. Photographs were at first called sun prints or sun pictures because light is necessary for creating them. In ancient Greek, phos, P-H-O-S, is light, and graphe, applying to many arts and words, to record. Way back when, that applied to the scratching or carving into clay tablets. Imagine, or should this traveler say, picture a world without photos. The world's first photograph, this is a quote, the world's first photograph made in a camera was taken in 1826 by Joseph Nicéphore Niépce. The photograph was taken from the upstairs windows of Niépce's estate in the Burgundy region of France. This image was captured via a process known as heliography. Helios is Greek for sun, which used bitumen of Judea coated onto a piece of glass or metal. The bitumen then hardened into proportion to the amount of light that hit it. The first color photograph was taken by the mathematical physicist and poet James Clerk Maxwell, 1861, end quote. The word album comes from albus, white. Heart, think of egg albumin, which is clear, yet when cooked, becomes white. Now, a word photo of this traveler as a teenager in the bathroom makeshift darkroom, developing photos in trays in the bathtub, watching the images come to life, growing light. Photo albums of the heart-mind have existed since any being was able to first see and then have a memory, existed before there were these words to identify them as such. Selfless Selfies. This is a poem. Selfless Selfies. Here's one of a Syrian child who's never seen a photo of a mountain meadow. Here's one of an Afghan goat herder bombed to the spirit world while addictions for poppies, for heroin, go unchecked. This one's not developing properly, but it's of a child in Iraq born with deformities because of toxic weapons, because of an addiction to oil. This one, sharp as can be, of a child in Yemen bombed to the spirit world by a war of terror. And this one is just the negative, so the blacks look white and the whites black, so as to see the world through the other's eyes, of a child in Flint, Michigan, learning about nutrition because of lead pipes, because of the colorblind mind that doesn't love colors. This is of the worker in Venezuela, because the powers that do want to overthrow yet another foreign country, want their chaosocracy throughout the benign world. And this one of a native grandmother arrested for praying. Back in the day, a photograph was a gift like magic, an image pulled from the air, often a treasure of family and friends gathering at significant or playful moments, the thing some say they would rescue first of all thing possessions because of the link to loved ones gone. Now, we must consider that before a photo can ever be taken, there must be a person to be photographed. And the last page of this chapter 2. Beneath all the bullshit is a hurt. After years and years of analyzing and reading and pondering and listening and discussing and asking what is the reason for people's individual turmoils and worldwide horrors, one day that phrase came to this traveler. It's that simple. Anger is often the first and later harbored reaction to feeling hurt. While focused and conscious use of anger can be effective for serving justice and making change, sadness is the underlying emotion. Those who are not in touch with the sadness, who are unable to be with the emotion and process the feeling thoughts rather than react to them, are typically the ones who hold on to the pain and lash out at others. While some people buck the statistics, proving there's a level of choice involved, a high percentage of those who were abused as children go on to abuse others. On the global scene, this traveler figures that atrocities are perpetrated by individuals with a deep hurt unassuaged. Quote, in the winter of 1993, spiritual leaders of 7 indigenous nations of North America came to the United Nations to deliver their traditional prophecies relating to the earth. End quote. Cry of the Earth, 12-part video, is still pertinent. And that's it for chapter two, The Cry of the Heart Mind. If you want to look at those videos, the part one will get you to the other parts. You just look up on YouTube and search Cry of the Earth. The book has the actual letters and numbers of the link, but that's kind of tricky to say so much. So just go to, you know, search YouTube Cry of the Earth, and there's a 12-part video series, as my book says, still pertinent. This was from 1993 when natives and indigenous peoples worldwide were telling us, warning us, telling everybody, warning everybody. So the lack of listening is part of why we're in another fine continuing mess, as Laurel and Hardy might say. So that's it for The Cry of the Heart Mind, Chapter 2. And the book has an ongoing sort of story-like process, a thematic process, whatever one calls it. So, after The Cry, the Chapter 3 is Turning Points of the Heart Mind. Thank you very much for listening. Have a good one.